Každá pátá Češka se setkala s fyzickým nebo sexuálním násilím od svého partnera. Už brzy by obětem domácího násilí měla pomoci nová mobilní aplikace. Ve Velké Británii, kde od loňska funguje pod názvem Bright Sky, už pomohla tisícům lidí v krizové situaci. Jejím spoluautorem je britský policista John Liversidge, bývalý vedoucí inspektor Thames Valley Police. Welcome on DVTV.
Welcome, thanks for having me.
How can a mobile app become one's new confidant in crisis situations?
Well, this particular app is intended to be a sort of a one-stop shop of advice. If you look at statistics around domestic abuse, it's an underreported crime. People suffer for years and years and years. They don't report it. And there's a number of reasons for that. And this app intends to give people information so they can make an informed decision about whether they report that abuse earlier rather than suffering for many, many years.
So in which ways can the app help and advise those who need it?
The app has a number of features. It has a risk assessment tool, so the first thing you can do is assess in the privacy of your own home or at work if you are at risk. You'll use the tool and it will give you an objective understanding about your own situation.
An objective understanding? Is it something a victim of domestic abuse is actually capable of?
It's a very simple tool. It's a series of questions, and it's based on the risk assessment used by the British Police. And essentially, you follow these questions, and at the end of that process, the app will tell you if you're deemed to be at risk.
The app also makes it possible, among other things, to take pictures or videos that are then stored in an external storage and can also be used as a proof.
Yeah, there are a number of features on the app, and one of them is it allows you to record evidence, and that can be voice, it could be photograph, it could be text, it could be email.
Have such documents already helped get someone into prison?
That I don't know, because the app is anonymous, deliberately so. When you use this app, the intention is that you can do so in secrecy and not worry that someone is watching you using the app. So we have analytics about how many times it's used. I don't know the outcomes because that's personal to you.
Right, but if it is stored somewhere, it will not be stored as an anonymous piece, right?
Correct, but it's only available to you. It's your decision then to take that evidence and either take it to the police or to take it to a solicitor. You may want a divorce or whatever. That storage is just for you.
And you have no data that would demonstrate to what extent it actually helped in a case when it comes
not
to
on
the
that aspect.
Assailant.
We have data on other things, so data on how many people have taken a risk assessment, how many people have downloaded it, how many times it's been used, how many people have searched. It has a facility where you can search for support services, so we can see how many people have searched for that as well.
Now, is a mobile phone not something that attackers like to have control of in order to better control their victims?
It is, and in fact there is a section in the app that helps you understand how to keep your IT safe, so how to keep your email safe, your phone safe, social media, because it is a very easy way for a perpetrator to track you and perpetrate suffering through that.
As you've said, the app provides information about various forms of violence. It also contains a questionnaire which helps victims of domestic abuse to assess to what degree
yes.
their relationship might be dangerous.
Yes.
How frequently have you encountered victims which were actually unable to realize that they actually were victims of domestic abuse in your practice as
yeah,
a policeman?
I've had feedback from a number of people who've used the app, and it's quite common for victims of domestic abuse been some form of denial. They often want the relationship to work, they often love the perpetrator, and they find excuses why their situation isn't abusive. And then of course a risk assessment just helps them understand that maybe things aren't how they should be, and then the advice will signpost you to where you might get better advice.
Now, from your practice as an inspector, why was it so hard for them, for those victims, to recognize what was happening to them? And how long did it take before they actually left this state of
denial?
Sure.
My experience, I was a police officer for 30 years. I retired as a chief superintendent. And my experience is there are a number of reasons why someone won't disclose. Firstly, fear. They're frightened about what are the consequences. Will I be beaten by my perpetrator? Will I lose the children? Will I have to move home? So that is a massive impact. And then there are things like shame. I don't want my neighbours, my best friends, to know that I'm suffering in an abusive relationship. And so they often live a lie. Some of the people we are protecting at the moment have suffered domestic abuse for 15, 20 years.
Without anyone knowing it?
Absolutely.
How frequent is that?
It's very, very common.
Yes, is it common. More common than victims that someone knows of, just doesn't know how to help?
I think so. If you look at the numbers of domestic abuse victims in the UK, there are probably more people who haven't reported than have.
One thing is to report it to the police, another one is to have someone as a confidant, a friend, a neighbour, so that's why I was asking.
Yeah, and the nice thing about this app is there are two pathways. There's a pathway for you. Is my relationship an abusive one? There's also a pathway in the app for someone who cares about someone else. So it may be your sister, your partner, your friend, somebody who you work with, and it allows you to use the app to help them. So it's not just for the person who is in an abusive relationship, it's someone who may know someone, or even a professional like a police officer. They can all use the app.
I suppose it's a crucial thing for victims of domestic abuse to find a quick and easy way to move to a safe place.
Sure.
Sometimes with their children. How does the app handle this issue?
The app has a directory of all the different services available to them, whether that be outsource outreach work or whether it's a refuge. And you will it will have videos to show you what type of help you might need. And then you can use the directory to find that appropriate help for you on the nearest.
Can the app in some way help not only the victims but also their aggressors?
I'm not sure how I understand.
Well, what is actually your experience when it comes to them? Are they not, let's say, equally harmed and damaged as their victims?
Often, perpetrators have suffered in an abusive family when they were children. And so, yes, there is an element of a perpetuity of long-standing abuse then happening in the next generation.
Which was not exactly my point, because I was more thinking from a perspective of aggressors maybe not realizing what they were doing, whether the app may actually help them take conscience of their acts.
The app is not intended to be used or seen by a perpetrator. Where that might happen is if you sought the right kind of advice, then that third-party NGO may introduce counselling, reconciliation and so forth, but that's not the intention of the app.
What are the most common reasons for domestic abuse, apart from alcohol, drug use?
For me, there's one basic premise, and it's about control. There are various reasons why people want to assert control, but it is about asserting control, whether that's in the form of violence, finance, sexual assault. It is all about asserting control.
Is there a case you handled that you cannot take out of your head?
Yeah, as a police officer, and it's an awful thing to have to do. I had to go and tell a family that their daughter had been murdered, and partly responsible for that murder was the fact that the police didn't act quickly enough. And that's an awful thing to have.
What do British police statistics say about domestic abuse? Do the numbers of victims increase or decrease in time, or are they pretty much
I think the
same?
The number of recorded victims is increasing. That's not necessarily a bad thing, because I do think more people are now reporting it, where previously it was even more underreported. The average high-risk victim will probably suffer 30 to 35 assaults before it comes to intention. But the sad fact that one in four women in the UK will experience abuse at some form in their life.
What does the typical victim of domestic abuse look like? One-fourth of British women, you say.
That's a very good question.
Are there any common features, is the question?
No, I don't think so. The only common feature is they live with an abusive perpetrator. So you could have someone who's from a poor economic background, you could have someone who's very wealthy, you could have a female, you could have a male. And it's important to understand there are male victims.
How many?
As well, yes. And so I think one of the reasons we've been so poor at handling domestic abuse in the past is that we have had a stereotype of what a victim might look like, and it is so not the case. One of the women I deal with, and I won't tell you which company, but is a millionaire in her own right, works for a really famous individual and gave up her job because she couldn't travel, because she's too frightened. You would never have known, and she lived a lie for 20 odd years.
When you said there were male victims, how frequent is that? I suppose it's not one fourth of men, is it?
Well, I have a number of products. You just seen one, and we look after high risk victims as well. And I can tell you that in London, one of my products, 7% of that product is with a male user.
How long does it take, in average, for a victim to realise what's going on and to leave a relationship, which is a source of abuse,
I think it varies.
Pressure,
What is sad, it's cyclical. So you may, typically, you know, you're in love, you meet someone you want to spend the rest of your life with, and then something happens. You think it's a one-off, and it happens again, and slowly but surely you realise that this is abuse. Often they may leave, they may tell a friend, they leave. But then it's also common at some point that they go back. They go back because they want their children to have another parent and so on. And so it isn't a straightforward circle. Sometimes people go back and regress.
Do they believe the partner is going to change?
Absolutely. Often they do. And it's things like, he only did that because I did this. So maybe if I change my behavior, then perhaps he won't abuse me in future.
Do they think them by themselves, or have they been manipulated into thinking that?
Sometimes manipulated by the perpetrator, and sometimes given advice by well-meaning people who don't know what the best advice is. So, and that's why the app is so useful to people who are friends. So by way of example, you know, I know your husband did that to you, but he's really stressed at work, and I'm sure next week it'll all be fine. And actually, it might not be fine.
Has your experience made you able to recognize such victims at first sight? Are there some signals
always.
That you
no,
can identify?
No, sometimes. Sometimes I do, but not always. Victims have to live with this day in, day out, and they become very skilled at hiding things. One victim I worked with some years ago, she's a very beautiful woman. I've got a photograph of her and her husband in a school at a big ball. And she says, you tell me what's different about me in this photograph. And there's about six good-looking couples. You know, the guys have all got dinner jackets on. And no one can see the difference. And she says, why am I the only woman wearing a cardigan in the height of summer? And it's because that afternoon he battered her and all her arms are bruised. And no one at that ball knew that she had been battered that afternoon. They live a life of deception because they don't want people to know. And they become very skilled at it.
Now, same question when it comes to the aggressors. Are there some signals that enable you to actually identify someone that is a perpetrator?
Normally, when I meet them, I'm sat across an interview table with them when they've been arrested, so I'm not the best person to ask. But again, aggressors, perpetrators, can be very skilled at hiding this abusive activity. So their neighbours think they're great, their work colleagues think they're great, their friends think they're great, and actually behind that closed door they're a monster.
What measures can the police take against assailants? Do they have to leave their homes immediately, or once domestic abuse is made evident, or how often do they end up in prison?
I don't think leaving home is always the only action. There are a range of things that you can do. If it's in the early stage of a relationship, you can look at counselling, you can look at support, but as it regresses and gets worse and worse and worse, then of course one option is that you remove the perpetrator from the home, or if it's a really urgent case, you take the victim and you put them in a safe house until you can prove that they are safe. And that's the worst extreme. But there are a range of things that you can do. One of the most enlightened cases is a victim kept returning to the perpetrator, and we couldn't understand why. And the only reason she went back is because one of her children had special educational needs, and it was a special school that her child went to. We were able to find another school in another area that could provide the same education, and so she was prepared to leave. That wasn't the police that fixed that. That was the education service. It is a holistic problem, and it needs to be solved holistically.
How frequent is it that a victim of domestic abuse chose once they left their aggressive partner?
Sorry, how many?
How frequent is it that victims that actually left their aggressive partner then found another one who behaved the same way?
I don't know the numbers, but it is often common. And sometimes it's almost this vulnerability stamp that people spot. So it is quite common that they've had a perpetrator who's been abusive. They meet another partner who seems lovely, and they turn out to be abusive as well. Not always. Often people form a new relationship and live a long and happy life afterwards.
I mean, is there an explanation for such a pattern?
Sometimes it's, pattern. It may be the circles in which you move in. It may be the fact that you have no self-esteem. One of the damaging things about domestic abuse is it damages an individual's self-esteem. They lose all contact with their friends, they lose their self-confidence, and so someone comes along and they are very vulnerable and they're easy to harvest.
Mr. Liversidge, thank you very much for your answers.
It's a pleasure, thank you.